Welcome to the Invest Smarter podcast, where you'll learn about the power of building wealth through real estate and how you can achieve financial freedom through multifamily investing. If you're interested in learning more about investing in multifamily real estate, head over to our website, sastexascapital.com, and take advantage of our free ebook, Multifamily Millions, How Anyone Can Invest in Apartment Buildings. Now, here's our host, Simon Castillo.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Invest Smarter podcast. This is my opportunity to provide you with my best insights into the world of real estate investing, business, and entrepreneurship. And on today's show, what I want to focus on is to give you some real life tips into the world of fixing and flipping. And, you know, maybe even more specifically, what does the fix and flip model look like in today's real estate environment? So let's dive into today's topic. So the fix and flip model is probably one of the more accessible entry points for most aspiring investors. And by that, I mean, you know, typically if you have decent credit, you have some capital that you can put down and you have some experience, there's high likelihood that you can qualify for a type of rehab loan, find a property, get it under contract and do some renovations and then turn around and sell it. It's a really basic business model. It's been around for, you know, years and years, decades. The difference right now is that with interest rates where they are, it makes the profitability of these types of projects, you know, much less, or at least it makes it much more challenging. I don't want to say it's much less because I think if you're a savvy buyer, you can find deals and you can find them at the right price point, even at today's interest rates. You know, the trick again is to find those deals and to get them under contract. So despite concerns about interest rates, I still think that there's plenty of opportunities in the fix and flip arena for those of you out there who are interested if you know how to navigate, you know, the current environment. So, you know, fixing and flipping single family and small multifamily properties, I think has long been viewed as a low entry barrier way to get into real estate investing for some of the reasons that I just mentioned. So even with interest rates being higher today, there is a fear, and I'll acknowledge it that there is a fear, and I've seen it too. You know, deals aren't penciling the way that they were 3 years ago. So there is a fear that the strategy is now a little more risky, especially for newcomers, given higher interest rates. But I don't agree that fix and flip model is dead or unviable anymore. There's still tremendous opportunities if you have the right frameworks in place. You know, at its core, real estate investing is simply a supply and demand game. Right now, there simply isn't enough housing supply, especially at the affordable entry-level housing stock that's suited for first-time home buyers and for moderate-income home buyers. So if you're a fix and flipper, you can strategically reposition older homes. And the reason I say older is because those are typically the ones that you can find at a decent enough discount that you can renovate up to a new standard and then turn around and provide that product and price it correctly for that market. And you will find willing buyers even in today's environment. So I think the key to success with this fix and flip model really comes down to understanding the math equation in this higher interest rate environment. So if your borrowing costs are higher, you know, across the board, as an investor, you have to be very, very, very disciplined in your acquisition strategy and pricing and understanding what your after repair value projections are. If you become emotional on a deal and you overpay, or if you over improve a property, you're going to destroy your profit margins, and you'll do that very, very quickly. So if you're going to be a successful flipper, you have to evaluate each deal with a cold, heartless eye and look at comparable sales in the area for not just the neighborhood, but the property type. So don't compare a two-bedroom to a three-bedroom, and don't compare a three-bedroom to a four-bedroom. Make sure that you're comparing the same types of properties within the same neighborhoods. You might want to be conservative in how much you think your market appreciation will be, or depreciation, you know, depending on what type of investing you're doing. And you can use sources. You can use sources online like Zillow. Zillow has tons of information that can be useful. But treat it with a grain of salt and always double check your facts. So, and you have to be really, really diligent in assessing the value of any renovations or improvements that you'll be making based on what your target buyer pool is. So if the numbers don't pencil with a healthy projected return on total costs, including your capital charges, then you just have to simply walk away. No matter how much you think that property has potential, emotion will always be your enemy in real estate investing. Do not get emotionally attached to any property. Another thing to consider also as a fix and flipper or renovator is always have a backup plan, have a plan B. So if for any reason your project is complete, you've renovated the property, you've brought it up to a new standard, but you can't immediately exit the property to a retail buyer, then have a backup plan. If your cost basis makes sense, you can hold it as a rental for, you know, 12, 24 months. It could be a long-term rental, a midterm rental, a short-term rental, whatever it is, as long as it's cash flowing. Within 12 to 24 months, if the economic environment that we're in, the interest rate environment that we're in has normalized, you know, having that flexibility can be critical, because the last thing that you want to do would be to have to unload a property when the timing is not right, because that's when either your profit margins just get totally squeezed, or you could potentially take a loss on a property, and you don't want to do that. So take advantage of today's strong rental demand and cash flow a property instead of feeling like you're forced or being forced to liquidate an attractive price. The last thing I would say, at least for now, is that I can't emphasize enough the importance of preserving your credit standing and not overextending yourself. I've seen this mistake done many, many times over because, you know, people at some point will want to scale their investment activity. One property is not enough, two is not enough, and you have to try to take on multiple projects and you end up overextending yourself. And if something happens and you have a loan on a property, you know, your credit can take a pretty serious hit, and you definitely want to preserve your credit standing if you want to be a real estate investor at any scale. So stick to your area of competence and what you can realistically execute at any one time. Now, some hurdles and other challenges that I don't think I hear enough people talking about is that we still have supply chain and we still have labor issues that can be some serious hurdles and roadblocks. And these delays can stretch into months, you know, possibly even years. So, you know, understand that there's still material shortages and permitting backlogs at municipal offices. And although these things seem to be improving, understand your local market and what's happening in your local market when it comes to supply chain and permitting and labor constraints. Now, as a residential fix and flipper, one advantage that you have in these types of rehab projects is that they do tend to be more nimble and easier for you to adjust on the fly compared to a larger scale residential or commercial development. If there are shortages for certain supplies on a particular property, you can probably find workarounds to continue the work while, you know, certain materials are on back order. So understand that there are things that you can do. You can be creative. Understand the challenges are there so that if you do need to be creative, have those types of contingencies in place. Now, that being said, understand that these effects are out there. So, you know, extended permitting delays from understaffed municipal offices are a common complaint and issue that I hear from other investors, and they could push your timeline out by not weeks, but months in some cases. So you have to bake in that risk as an investor and ensure that your budget and your financing have an adequate buffer. So take it into account, especially when you're buying and you're baking it into your price so that it's baked into your offer and it's part of your budget and part of your financing, overall financing plan. Now, on the lending side, I know there's a lot of concern with capital and deal flow. I find that there's still lots of capital out there that's looking to get deployed for these types of projects. So there's still a lot of bridge loan financing out there. And bridge loan financing is where an investor can acquire a property, you know, at a favorable price. And again, price being the key. You can renovate it, stabilize it as a rental, and then refinance out into a longer term permanent debt once you've lined it up with tenants and it's cash flowing. It's a little bit of an alternate take on the classic flip model where instead of putting a tenant in it, you're putting it up for sale. But this type of bridge loan financing is very common, very popular, and is available to investors. But you just have to find the right lender for you. And don't get me wrong, there are challenges out there. With the higher interest rate environment that we're in, it has created some strategic consolidation of opportunities around the lending sphere. So, you know, certain competitors may face instability or capital constraints. So established lenders are picking up, you know, some of that slack and market share from those lenders that find themselves in some trouble. So despite the challenges, I think, you know, if you maintain discipline and stick to a sound investment plan, if you have your criteria, if you avoid chasing the shiny objects or deals outside of your area of expertise. So by that, I mean, you know, if your expertise has been, you know, coming in and renovating the interior of a house, but you find a house house that has a foundation issue and you've never dealt with a foundation issue, might be one to pass on. Foundation issues can be tricky, and you know, initial estimates for the repair of a foundation I've seen can be wrong by thousands of dollars and may not be the type of risk you want to take depending on where you are in your investment journey. So stick to deals that are within your area of expertise, projects that you've done, things that you're familiar with, and understand that the math is going to be the math, you know, regardless of rates or market forces. So make sure you're calculating your potential returns, your capital outlays extremely conservatively. You know, if you set a high bar and you undertake, then over deliver on every project, that's going to be a way to ensure that you have the right amount of profit margin built into your project so that you're not at any point in danger of going upside down on a property. Secondly, just remember to remain flexible and opportunistic, even if your original exit plan needs adjustment. So if you're rigid in your plans and you're set on flipping a property at a locked in price, you can back yourself up into a corner if it's not a good time to sell a property based on the dynamics, the economic dynamics at that point in time. So have a backup plan, have a rental or refinance contingency plan in place that allows you to be agile just in case your original plan doesn't work out the way that you hoped it would. And then, you know, have a long-term outlook. Even as a fix and flipper where you're hoping to turn around projects in 6 to 9 months, you have to have a long-term outlook as a real estate investor. We're in a cycle right now where interest rates are higher. We hope that that will eventually stabilize and interest rates will lower and transaction volumes will again recover. And if you make smart, fundamentally sound investments today, you'll be rewarded when that normalcy returns. Volatility always creates opportunity for those that are positioned correctly. One last note that I want to pass on as a tip is also understand that when you're doing these types of projects, not only do you have to buy right, and I think as a general rule of thumb, and again, every situation, every property that you look at is going to be different, but in general, and as a rule of thumb only, if you can acquire properties at about 60% of the property's after repair value, you'll be probably, in most cases, you'll be in pretty good shape. Use that as your back of the napkin math when you are evaluating a property. So if you have a $300,000 property that is in good condition, if you can acquire that property for about $180,000, from there you can bake in your holding costs, your renovation costs, you know, all of your capital outlays, and then your profit margin. That should give you enough room, you know, to have a healthy profit margin and remain relatively conservative in your underwriting to where that deal will make sense. And again, that's just a general rule of thumb, something for you to use as back of the napkin math. Obviously, you want to make sure that you have a full underwriting of the property and understand all of the costs that will be involved with the renovation, with the fixing and the flipping of that property. Make sure you understand transaction costs, because that is a huge chunk of a property when you have to both buy and sell it. So you'll have commissions, you'll have closing costs, you'll have title company costs, attorney fees, and things of that nature that just add up. Make sure you have a firm grasp on what those costs are, because they need to all be baked into your projections so you can make sure that you have a healthy profit margin. And the last thing I'll say around fixing and flipping is understand your market and understand your neighborhood, because I've also seen a common mistake made where you want to take a property and you just want to make it pristine and you want to put in, you know, top-notch flooring, you know, ceramic flooring, you want to put in marble countertops, you want to, you know, rip out old cabinets and put in new cabinets, but understand the market that you're in and what the return on your dollar will be for those renovations. If you're in a middle class, you know, working class neighborhood, ceramic flooring may not be the best idea. Ripping out cabinets may not be the best idea. Painting cabinets, painting walls, installing laminate flooring may be the best idea, maybe the best bang for your buck for those types of projects and those types of market target niches. So understand your market and understand where you're getting the best bang for your buck when it comes to outlining your renovation project. So I haven't even touched on managing your general contractors, because I feel like I've done a few episodes here in the last few weeks that specifically talk about working with contractors and budgets and things. So go back and check those episodes out if you want to learn more about how to work with contractors. But hopefully you found this insightful today, some tips on navigating today's fix and flip markets and some tactical strategies that you can use and put into immediate action. So hopefully you found some value in today's episode. If you did, Share with a friend. Maybe you know someone who's also looking to get started investing in real estate or looking to get into their next deal. This is a great show to provide them with some educational resources and help them to navigate their own real estate journey. So share the link to the show. And if you have a few minutes, leave us a 5-star rating and a review. That just goes a tremendous way to continue to grow the show and attract the type of content and the guests also when we have guests on the show that you as an audience want to and need to listen to. The last thing I'll say is that if this sounds overwhelming to you, but you still want to invest in real estate, head over to our website at sastexascapital.com, sign up for our newsletter, or download one of our free resources. That will get you onto our email list, and you'll be notified as soon as we have new investment opportunities available. If you want to invest alongside us on a deal, partner with us on a deal, or just invest passively into a deal, we have opportunities for any of those types of real estate investments. So again, sastexascapital.com. Head over to the website and get onto our email list. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Invest Smarter podcast. I hope you found value in today's show, and I really appreciate you taking the time to listen, and we will talk again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the Invest Smarter podcast, the show that educates you so that you can take control of your financial future. Be sure to rate the show 5 stars and leave us a review. Make sure that you're subscribed so that you automatically receive the newest edition of the podcast when it's released. If you're interested in learning more about investing in multifamily real estate and taking control of your financial future, head over to our website, sastexascapital.com, and take advantage of our free ebook, Multifamily Millions, How Anyone Can Invest in Apartment Buildings. And be sure to sign up for our mailing list to receive exclusive investment opportunities straight to your inbox. It's time to invest smarter. That's sastexascapital.com.